Hello, Be Educated. I'm Hannah Dreesing, and today I'm with Julie Dower to talk about her environmental background and discussions on environmental education. Julie and I worked together at the Environmental Learning Center in our senior year at Colorado State University. I've always really enjoyed working environmental education programs with Julie, and I'm really excited that she agreed to be on this show. Today, we are following up on a previous episode where we had several ELC alumni talk about their educator experiences. So more on that, and starting with your background, Julie, you highlighted the importance of having early exposure to natural areas when we were growing up and how that came into play for you with experiences like camping with your family and the things that helped start your environmental interests. I was wondering if there was a particular outdoor experience or natural area that you especially connected with when you were growing up.
Right. So there's two places that kind of come to mind when I think of really integral events in my life or places that kind of fostered that care for the environment. And the first one is up in Keystone, Colorado, where my grandparents live. I spent a lot of time up there sledding and skiing as a child. And I think that's when I kind of discovered a fascination for snow and the water cycle in general. So I would say that's one of the places. And then the other one is I went to this Girl Scout camp up near Lyons, Colorado, which is just right in the foothills up here. And I spent a lot of time playing out there near the river, doing fun activities. And then in 2013, my senior year of high school, there was a huge flooding event in Lyons and therefore in Longmont, which is where I live. And it pretty much was the first natural disaster where I was like, wow, nature is really powerful. And like, it's really important that we not only care for the environment, but also know how to manage it. So I think that's kind of what spurred my interest in natural resources and more specifically water resources. So
that's interesting too, to see like the local side of the environmental issues that are going on and like how it applied to your life growing up. Would you explain more about what made you make the career change? Because I know that you started with nursing and then went to natural resource management, which I imagine some people would be kind of confused about.
Right. Well, what I think is that when you're in high school, your like view of the world is so small. Like mm-hmm. The actual career exploration is like what? So I knew that I wanted to do something that impacted people and was something that was helpful. So that's why I was like, I'll just do nursing, see how it goes. And then when I got into nursing, I was like, wow, I really like the chemistry and the biology aspect of it. And I kind of had a moment where I shadowed one of my friend's moms at a pediatric ICU. And that's kind of when I realized, like, I don't want to go down this path of like working with humans. It's a little bit too intense for me. So that kind of forced me to really think about what I wanted to do with my life. And I think when you're 18 years old, you don't really know what you want, but you have an idea of what you care about. So that's kind of what led me to it.
Nice. Do you see any aspects of nursing that also hit on ecological values at all, or some way that made the transition a little easier?
Definitely. I think that, humans and the natural world are one thing. So there's a lot of relations between how a human body works versus how an animal's body works. And I think my fascination for just the way that kind of fascination and curiosity for how the world actually works is how I kind of feel like they're connected.
Mm-hmm. And you decided more specifically to study watershed science, is that right?
Right, yeah. So when I transferred to CSU, I was doing ecosystem science and sustainability. And then I did that for 2 years, but the curriculum for that and watershed science are very similar. So one of my professors was like, you should do watershed science. Like, it's way better. And I was like, okay. So I ended up doing it. And that was like, I'm so happy that I switched into being more specific watershed science, because I think that the water cycle is so interesting and it really touches on all aspects of natural resource management. So,
yeah, that's great. Yeah, so talking more about our time at Environmental Learning Center, I totally agree. You said in your video that it's probably the best job that we could have had in college because it was just such an awesome experience. And since then, you started right out of college to be working at the Thorn Nature Experience. Is that right?
Yep.
Is that a nonprofit in Colorado?
Yeah, so they're a nonprofit based out of Boulder.
Okay. And that's also environmental education, or what do they do there?
Yeah, so the Thorn Nature Experience is it's pretty much inside of Boulder. And instead of being on a river like the ELC was, it's actually on a marsh. So they have a center there and they host field trips and do different programming at their site. And then they also do kind of similar to what we did at the ELC. They go into schools and teach after school programs. So I did some of the field trips that came out, that type of programming. And then I also worked at some of the bilingual elementary schools in the district. And that was really interesting. It kind of made me think of you because I remember you were always the one translating into Spanish. So it kind of made me think of you, but it was really great working there because Boulder is kind of where I grew up. So just to work in that space and like connect with kids that grew up kind of in the same setting that I did was really cool.
Yeah, that's nice that you're able to like make that kind of connection with kids when you really know the area and like what it was like to be a kid there. That is cool. Right.
Yeah.
So what brought you to work at the Hydromet?
Yeah, so I mean, I graduated and then I was looking for jobs, you know, and I originally had actually toured the Ott Hydromet location in Loveland with my watershed measurements class. So we actually toured the facility, and that's where I'd initially heard about the company. Mm-hmm. And then when I was applying for jobs, I was like, oh, I wonder if they're hiring. And they had like sales support and customer service. And I was like, what is that? Like, they never teach us that in natural resources. But I was like, I think the company's cool. Like, I'll just apply. And it was really cool throughout the interview process, just how much they valued having a natural resources degree. Mm-hmm. And then I joined the company and it's kind of crazy because I got hired like right at the beginning of COVID. So it was like a really interesting time to get a job because I interviewed in person and then I started the job remote. So I like don't see my coworkers at all, but it's been really good. I think it does connect to my background in environmental education because you have to connect what people already know and how you can help them with the stuff we sell, I guess. That makes sense.
Yeah. So you feel like you are doing some of the teaching techniques or just kind of outreach tools that you might have used when you were teaching?
Right. Yeah. So I think when we taught at the ELC, a lot of times we would get people that were either 5 years old or adults or whatever, any demographic. And I think I still see that in my job when people call asking that are interested in our products. It's important to first ask them kind of like what the baseline of knowledge they have is in order to like teach them about our products and how they could help provide a solution for the things they're trying to collect data on. So I can definitely see the connect there.
Yeah, that's interesting too, because I imagine it's really difficult to kind of get a sense of what their knowledge level is without like trying to, you know, give them too much information or like the opposite of that and make them feel like they're not able to understand what you're talking about.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think it's kind of interesting because I'll see people that are grad students in school looking for a precipitation gauge to do research. And I'm like, I can relate to you so well, like, because we're the same age and like, you know, just a lot to relate on. And then I talked to like these 50-year-old hydrologists that are looking for these super complex like weather stations. And so it's been a learning experience in itself, but also a connect with environmental education.
Nice. That's nice that you're able to connect with all those people in so many different ways too. It sounds like a really interesting job.
I really like it.
Yeah, I was wondering if you have any techniques or like ways that you feel more prepared before speaking to customers or in the past teaching environmental education that you'd like to share.
Yeah, so I think before we prepared our lessons at the ELC, we were always thinking about what have these kids already learned in school and how can we build off of those things. Like when we had field trips, it'd be like, oh, they're studying the water cycle in their class right now, so we can bring them out to the ELC and actually show them with looking at macroinvertebrates or showing different changes in the land from the flooding that have happened. So I think that is definitely a technique I've taken over into my job and my life in general, is to understand kind of what people care about, because that's really going to motivate them in general. So it's like, oh, they care about getting this data or whatever it may be, and then building off of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's a great one. How about a specific teaching experience that is particularly memorable for you?
Yeah, so I was thinking about this, and when I worked up at the Keystone Science School in Keystone, Colorado, I had the chance to work one-on-one with this five-year-old girl named Pippa, and she was on the autism spectrum, and I really wasn't that familiar with working with that demographic, and it was so eye-opening to me, not only in working with her, but also in just adaptability. And I think that's one of the things I've learned most about environmental education, is like, it doesn't matter how much you prepare, like throw that out the window when you get outside, because there's so many unpredictable things that'll happen. And working with her, it was kind of like every day it was something new. And so she really thrived in the outdoor setting, but she also like needed time away from the group or couldn't do the same activities. So it was kind of like, let's try to integrate her as much as we can with the group. And then if she needs to take a break, like we can go do like an arts and crafts activity with her or just like go explore with her. So I think that was really kind of a challenging experience, but also a really good learning experience in terms of adaptability and integrating different types of people into the programming.
Yeah. I love that too, how you're able to kind of individualize the learning experience for that specific student or camper. And, you know, like you were talking about how there might be moments where a kid wants to go explore something else, and just finding room for doing that within the lesson. That's really interesting experience too. Was there another teaching challenge that you have struggled with, and have you found particular ways of overcoming them?
Yeah, so I think when I think about Pippa and the stuff that I learned from teaching her, I think what I'd like to improve more on is inclusivity and, you know, working with accessibility for all people, no matter if they're in a wheelchair or whatnot, like being prepared to teach whoever it is, and then also being more inclusive in the fact that maybe using pronouns like we kind of implemented on our team, or just making it accessible for everybody to come and do the lesson, because I think sometimes it'll slip my mind. I don't expect to have people that aren't able to kind of walk in the outdoors or do the normal things. So I think kind of just not counting anybody out, and that nature is a place for everyone, is something that I'm continuously working on. But I think I learned a lot working at the ELC in that realm.
Yeah, I think that's a really important issue. And you brought that up on our earlier episode about inclusivity. And I'll bring that up in our future discussions too, because it's a really important piece of environmental education that I think a lot of people feel isn't really incorporated as much as it should be. So yeah, thanks for bringing that up. And then based on that conversation, I wanted to talk to you more about how you were saying that your awareness to some of these issues wasn't really as strong as it is now, and that you feel that your role as an educator kind of woke up this sense that there isn't that much inclusivity, and that there is disproportionate access to environmental education in natural areas. What do you think it was about this role, this educator role, that brought you to this realization?
Right. So I think that just my whole life, I've lived in this bubble of being in Colorado, being right next to the mountains, going on those field trips up to Rocky Mountain National Park, like doing all those things where I was privileged to have those experiences in nature. And I think when I got into environmental education and then started seeing, people of color aren't out in nature as much, I was like, oh my gosh, obviously they're not able to access it as much because they live in urban areas for the most part. Like, there's not much diversity or access to being outdoors or any of those sports. So I think that moving forward, I know there has been a lot of effort for like National Park Services and other things like that to have internships for people of color that are interested and getting kids out there. I know you and Aaron did that programming back at the ELC that kind of helped the high school kids get into it, which I think is important. But I think that is a very pressing issue in environmental education, especially in the time that we're living in right now. Important.
Yeah. I was wondering maybe if you could expand a little bit about what you've seen in Colorado and maybe more of an idea about what access looks like today as far as the inequality that you've seen.
Right. So I think that people living in Denver in those inner city neighborhoods don't necessarily have the funding to go on trips up into the mountains. So, that's difficult to see. And I know at all the nature centers I've taught at, the ELC, Keystone Science School, and Thorne, it's just completely slanted towards white people. But what I think is really cool, like what Thorne is doing, is they teach after school programs at these bilingual elementary schools on purpose so that they're getting these kids out and having these experiences. So I think two things. The first thing that I think is important is to have people in leadership roles that are diverse. So, intentionally hiring people or looking for talent in those demographics is really important. And I also think having those after school programs and teaching environmental ed through the actual coursework so that kids can feel comfortable in their own neighborhood getting outside and then maybe bringing that back to their home, I think is really important.
Yeah, those are great ideas. Do you see much of that going on as far as legislation or outdoor leaders in Colorado kind of pushing for that right now?
I'm not sure about the actual legislation behind it, but I do see different nonprofit groups popping up. So I did see that an African American woman just backpacked the whole Colorado Trail kind of to make a statement about Black women in nature, and started a group where she's bringing other women out into these nature opportunities. And I think that's really important, is because I think people are nervous to go out there for their first time. So it's really giving people that first opportunity to get out and get a little bit more comfortable doing it on their own.
Yeah, that's really empowering. That's super cool. Okay, well, I'm going to jump into the lightning round unless you have anything else that you'd like to talk about.
I think I'm good. I'm ready.
Okay, All right. So our first question is about the best advice that you've received.
Okay. So I would say the best advice I've received and the advice that I've used the most is to wait 24 hours on an impulsive decision. I feel like I have a lot of impulsive ideas, whether it's online shopping or going and doing something or buying a plane ticket, whatever it is, to just wait 24 hours on it. I think what's important about that is that in our day and age, people don't really sit with their thoughts that much, which is kind of a sign of technology and just having that distraction right at your hand. So I think being more thoughtful and a better place to contemplate those things is in nature, which is kind of like a nice thing. So
yeah, that's good advice. What is a book that you are reading right now or one that you would recommend?
I brought my books that I'm reading right now.
Nice.
Okay, here's the first one. It's called Eager: The Surprising Secret Life of Beavers and Why They Matter by Ben Goldfarb. This book is so good. I'm about halfway through it. It talks about how beavers have pretty much engineered North America and how they're just an integral keystone species. And beavers are my favorite animals. So my friend gave me this book and I was like, oh my gosh. And it's really, really good. And then I have this other book. It's called Entangled Life: How Fungi Make Our Worlds, Change Our Minds, and Shape Our Futures by Merlin Sheldrake. And it's about mycology and mycelium in general and how it interacts with the world and how important it is. So those are the two books I would suggest.
That second one is on my list already. So
the one about this one?
The fungi one? Yeah, Entangled Life.
Yep. I'll have to send it to you. My neighbor suggested it to me. Because I was talking about how interested I was in just kind of like mushroom identification and kind of mushroom foraging. Because, you know, if you're out hiking, like you might as well like know how to identify mushrooms as well. So he suggested it. It's really good. So
good. I'm excited to read it. Okay. Well, for all of our listeners, be sure to check out our upcoming episode where we will have Julie back with our other Environmental Learning Center alumni, and we'll discuss important issues around environmental education and our role as educators. Thanks so much for being here, Julie.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, bye for now.